2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance.
Thank you for that good reading this evening. I think this evening, due to the whatever goes on in the evenings to make it a little bit different, my hoarseness is even worse than it was this morning. When Shirley lived, I used to say that Shirley thought she married a preacher, but she just got a little hoarse. It's more than just a little. There's a mold that grows on the trees this time of the year called alt mold, A-U-L-T. And alt mold I'm very allergic to. And the only thing that can be done about it, there's no medicine for it or any of that. The only thing can be done about it is a hard frost, a freeze, if you please, very early in the season. So you can understand why it is that I have begun to pray for this frost. Get here and get it over. It also helps the leaves to turn their beautiful color. Death is not a subject that we particularly like to discuss. We use all kinds of euphemisms, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but we use all kinds of euphemisms in order to keep from saying dead, died, or whatever it might be. I remember one time there was a young woman in a congregation down yonder, and I was there holding a meeting. She had three little children, and the preacher said to me one evening, one night during the meeting, I don't know which night, this lady will be having you in her home for the evening meal. And there's some things you need to know about her. First of all, she recently lost her husband. Well, I found out later that recently was about 3 or 4 years before I was there in this meeting. But that evening, I heard a great deal about him during the meal and after. Before, I played with the children. The children liked me because I was a horse. I'd get down on my hands and knees, and two or three of them would pile on my back, and I'd, you know, crawl around the living room and let them ride as if they were riding a horse or a dog or whatever it is they like to ride. But at any rate, she kept using the expression, after my husband left me, after my husband left me. And I keep thinking, the preacher told me her husband was dead. How could he leave her? And finally, I figured out she's using this left me as a euphemism to say that he's died. We use passing away, passing on, departed from this life. There's a number of them. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But we just don't like, as the old, as John Wayne used to say in his movies, we just don't cotton to the idea of discussing death. And yet the Bible has a great deal to say about it. The apostles discussed death. The apostle Paul, for example, wrote to Timothy saying, I'm now ready to be offered, that is, to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. He went on to say, in most beautiful language, therefore, the Lord has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord our judge has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he looked forward to the day when he would be crowned with eternal life. That's what the figurative speech, crown of righteousness, refers to. Job thought of death many times during the months, probably, that he put in suffering because of the loss of his family, the loss of his fortune, and the loss of his health. As a matter of fact, his wife even suggested that he would be better off if he just cursed God and die. And Job called her a foolish woman. And so, while death is not the most attractive subject in the world, we all see it from time to time. We all deal with it one way or another. And just as surely as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, we will deal with our own one of these days. In the passage of Scripture that was read to us just a few moments ago, the Apostle Peter talks about his death. He said, there are certain things I want to do before I die, before I put off this tent, or this tabernacle was the word that the King James Version uses. He says, for this reason I will not neglect to remind you always of those things. Oftentimes, one of the things that we do before we leave this world is to remind our children or our husband or our wife or whomever it might be what it is that we wanted to accomplish in life and whether or not we're satisfied with having accomplished it. We remind them sometimes of the good things that have happened in our lives, the fun things that we enjoyed in life. And so the Apostle Peter in this passage of Scripture said, I don't want to neglect something that's very, very important. I do not want to neglect to remind you always of these things, referring to the Christian characteristics that he had mentioned in the preceding paragraph. He said, you know them. And you're established in the present truth. In other words, you're well grounded in the gospel. You know what I've been talking about. You understand it. You've heard it before. But I want to remind you. And this time, inasmuch as he seems to think that his death is not far away, he wrote these things down that he had preached to these Christian people before, so that as long as the world stood, they would have these books to remind them and, I might add, remind us of what we need to be acceptable to God. He said, you're established in the present truth. I like that little phrase, the present truth. That does not imply that that all of the truth had yet been revealed, because the vast majority of it, probably with the exception of the book of Jude, had been revealed by this time. And he calls this body of teaching that you and I call the gospel or the New Testament, or by other names, he calls it the present truth. There's something great about the present. The past is gone. There's nothing we can do about it. The future is not here, and we can't manipulate it. But the present is something else. It belongs to us. We can live for Christ in the present. We can be obedient to the truth that is always in the present, this present truth, or in the present truth. And he said, in addition to this, I think it's right. As long as I'm in this tabernacle or tent, to stir you up by reminding you. You know, memory is a wonderful thing. I've lost a great deal of mine. There was a time if I heard something, I never forgot it. Now if I hear something, I never remember it. And there's a difference in those two things. And when some of you who are younger get to the place where I am in life, you'll begin to understand that. I was in a store the other day, and there was a young clerk who was checking me out at the cash register. And I said, oh, would it be an inconvenience for you if I run back here and get something that I forgot? She said, not at all. Go ahead. And I went back and I said, you know, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. And I just forget. Day in and day out, I forget. Sometimes I forget things that are very important. But at any rate, she said, She couldn't have been over 19 or 20, maybe 21 at the most. Oh, she said, I have the same problem. I just can't remember. I can't remember anything. And I told her until I was 60, I couldn't forget anything. And she said, oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Said, the world just keeps us rushing all the time. And by that time, I was ready to pay her, so we didn't get into a discussion about that. But Peter said, I want to remind you. I want to stir you up by reminding you. What do you mean? Well, my grandfather used to use the expression concerning someone was angry, he's really stirred up. But that isn't what the Apostle Peter means here. He means, I want by the system of memory to make you more zealous, more careful in following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to use this device to teach you what you have been, what you are, and what you will be when you pass through the door of death or over the chilly Jordan River, as the old timers used to put it. And so Peter said, as long as I am alive, as long as I'm in this body, I want to stir you up, and I want to do it by reminding you, by teaching you again the things I have taught you before. You know, preaching is a strange thing. Everybody thinks that the preacher ought to have a first-time, fresh sermon, that he ought never to repeat himself. But if the Apostle Peter could repeat himself, and if Paul could repeat himself, what's wrong with my doing it? Besides, there are some old, old principles of the gospel, such as loving one another as we love ourselves, for example, that we need to be put in our reminder again and again and again and again. And so Peter said, as long as I'm here, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to try to make you more zealous by telling you what you need to remember or what happened, I remind you of it. He could remind them of persecutions through which they had lived, sorrows that they had borne because their loved ones were put to death by some cruel tyrant, either Jewish or Roman, in order to destroy or stamp out, they thought that's what they were doing, Christianity. But then he says, the reason I want to do this is because I know I'm going to have to die soon. Oh, he didn't put it in that particular language, but he said, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Now, Peter didn't go into a discussion of it, but the passage of Scripture to which he makes a reference here is found in the 21st chapter, the last chapter of the book of John. Jesus had just asked Peter three times, Peter, lovest thou me? And the third time it was asked, it really upset him. He was not at all happy because he replied to the Lord in these words, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, like a brother, phileo. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Our Catholic friends tell us that this is where Jesus ordained Peter Pope, but if that's the case, neither Peter nor Jesus nor any of the rest of the apostles knew anything about that. It was a secret ordination that he never really did find out about. And though tradition says he died in Rome, he never ruled over the Roman diocese as Pope or anything else, as far as that's concerned. Jesus then went on to say to him, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. When you were younger, you put your robe on, you wrapped it around you, you took your belt or your sash and you tied it or you buckled it, as we would say today, so that the robe would not fly open and you would be shown to be indecent. The robes that men wore in those days went almost to the ground, and at night they used them to cover themselves while they slept, and often they had to shake the dust and the mud out of the hem in order to have something decent to wrap up in for the night. So he says, when you were younger, you did all of that yourself. You didn't ask anybody about it, and not only that, but you went where you pleased. But Jesus is going to say something else to him that possibly was not the best news that Peter ever received. He says, but when you're old, now you're going to live a time yet. You're going to get old. Now, I should remind you that sometime between the ages of 50 and 60, in those days, a man became old. Aren't you glad it doesn't happen now till we're 90 or more? But a man became old in that time period. King Henry VIII, for example, even in the 16th century, died at the age of 57, and he was considered to be an old, old man. They referred to him, the people in the household, after he was dead, they referred to him as that gross, fat, old man. And he was very fat. He weighed about 350 to 375 pounds, depending on how many stone he used to weigh that day. But he said, when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Now, that language would certainly be mysterious to us if this addition were not put in there by the Apostle John. In verse 19, John tells us, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. In other words, Jesus is telling this man, and we get this from the language, stretch out your hands, that he will one day suffer the death by crucifixion, even as the Lord himself did. Not many of the apostles suffered that death. Paul, for example, was beheaded in the courtyard of the Manertine prison in Rome when he was a young man of about 70. But Peter, on the other hand, if historic tradition has any merit whatsoever, refused to be crucified like his Lord. And so of having a cross with a beam across and hanging by his hands, he had his cross that the Romans constructed for him made in the form of an X. And his feet were nailed up and his hands were nailed down. So his hands were stretched out just as Jesus said they would be. Now, you can imagine how that being in such a position as that and in such agony and in such pain, what would keep the man from suffering a stroke or something even worse as the blood rushed to his head in that position. But John says in this passage of Scripture that Jesus spoke this language to him, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Peter knew years before it ever came to pass that he was going to die a martyr's death. He didn't know when. He just knew it was going to be when he was old. He didn't know how. He didn't know by whom it would come. But he knew he was going to suffer a martyr's death. When we hear of a death, we will often ask the question, well, what caused the death? We're interested in what causes death. This disease, that disease, some other disease, accident, death by one's own hand, which is self-murder and a sin, if a person's in his right mind. We're concerned about the way we're going to die. And the news that was given to Peter upon this occasion was something that never fled from his mind. For the only other time this is referred to in our New Testaments, it is referred to by Peter himself when he said, knowing that I must shortly put off my tent as, or just as, or even as, our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He said, Jesus revealed to me how I was going to die. He didn't reveal when, except he was going to be old. But what a terrible thing it would to look forward to know that you had gotten to be that age called old, and then you were going to die as if you were some kind of a slave or something of the sort. And so he said, Jesus showed it to me. And because I know how I'm going to die, though I don't know when, but I do know, evidently the Spirit revealed this to him, it will be shortly. Now, Peter wasn't going to live 100 years longer, or 200 or 300. The word shortly, when we read it in the Scripture, without exception, always means shortly. Never does it mean longly. It refers to something that's going to happen soon, within a few years' breadth. It isn't something that's going to happen way on down the road when you and I are long since dead and forgotten. It's something that happened then. Peter said, I'm going to die for long, and Peter's not alive now. And he hasn't been for 20 centuries or more. And so he died just as the Lord showed him, and the Holy Spirit obviously revealed to him that it was going to be shortly. He said, and the obligatory term must is added there by the interpolators, but we, translators, I'll get it in a minute, knowing that shortly I put off my tent. The word must was added by the translators. It isn't necessary to the sense of the sentence. I'm not sure why they put it in there, because if you put on off your tent, it's because you must put it off, just as our Lord showed me. And so he said, this is why I'm reminding you of these things. I'm telling you over and over and over again. I'm reminding you, this time I'm writing it down so that you won't ever forget it as long as you have my writings. And we still have his writings here with us today, and there's no reason for us to forget what he has had to say as well. But he said, in addition to that, or moreover, in the 15th verse, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. This time he used a word directly pointing to death. Now notice what he had to say. This time, moreover, I will be careful. I'm going to be very cautious and careful to make sure that you always, as long as you live, as long as the next Christian generation lives, and that generation lives, and on and on and on, always is a long period of time. It's almost as long as never. You always have a reminder of these things after I'm dead. How was he going to do that? You're going to write it in a book. Well, where's the book? Right here. Right here. And so in this marvelous, marvelous passage of Scripture, in which Peter shows us the importance of reminding, as well as the importance of being prepared for death, the Apostle Peter talks about both in this brief paragraph that contains much, much more than we would like to admit. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die. One fellow told me not long ago, they'll probably have to knock you in the head on Judgment Day. I doubt that very seriously, but if that's the way it has to be, that's the way it has to be. You don't know either. Teenagers start out oftentimes, young people, to have a good time, and the driver of a vehicle begins to sip some pretty powerful liquid, and teens often end up dead by accident. Parents are going to grieve the rest of their lives. Grandparents are going to grieve the rest of their lives. Aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters are going to feel that hole in their heart, if I might use that figurative expression, as long as they live upon this earth, because you're not there. So if the driver begins to drink, demand that he stop the car, and tell him, you have just been elected by yourself, the most important vote in the world, to be the designated driver. He needs to get in the back seat and go to sleep before his parents find out what shape he's in. And so the Apostle Peter tells us in this passage of Scripture the value of reminding, and he said, I'm going to remind you right up to the time I die, and I'm going to remind you after I die of the things that you need to know to live the faithful Christian life. And among the other things that he will teach in this beautiful book, he will teach these things that we noted this morning. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience or perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you and abound, they shall make you that you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter reminds us that there is a life to be lived, that there are characteristics to develop in our lives. There is a certain way we should order the affairs of our souls in order to be acceptable to God in this life and in the one which is to come. Think of it, brethren. Peter doesn't know what's going on the earth today because the dead know not anything under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us. And so those who are released from this life by death don't sit around all day long and worry about their loved ones that are here. We talk about, well, though you're dead, you still walk with us. No, they don't. No, they don't. They're either in that place that Peter characterized as Tartarus, which is hell, or they're in that place that is characterized as paradise. And there they await the judgment until they hear the consummating statement of our Lord regarding their eternal well-being or not well-being, as the case might be. And so, dearly beloved, don't be afraid to remind one another. One of the things that we do when we get older is reminisce. I said to one of the young ladies in this congregation the other day, do you remember the Sunday that you and our daughter Candy were sitting way in the back over here and you began talking, and after a while I said, Candy, you come down here and sit with your mother. Oh, do I ever remember that? She said, well, it's good to be reminded, isn't it? I started to ask Candy that the other day when she was visiting me, and I said, do you remember? And she said, yes, Daddy, I remember. I didn't even get to ask her what it was. She remembers all too well. I shouldn't have humiliated those girls that way, but it never happened again. Not to my knowledge. And when Candy's husband, who is an elder in the Pickerington Church, preaches, she always warns her children, you all sit there and be respectful and quiet, because if you don't, your dad will embarrass you just as my dad did. So memory goes both ways, doesn't it? Works both ways. Dear beloved, remember. Remember what you were before you became a Christian. You were without hope, without God in the world. You were dead in sins and trespasses. There was no way to relieve the agony that was upon you except through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is attained by the obedience to his gospel. Remember what you are now. Remember what you can be and what you will be if you're faithful as long as you live upon this earth. Jesus promised one of the churches in the book of Revelation, be thou faithful unto death. That means be thou faithful even if you have to die for being faithful. And I'll give you a crown of life. I'll crown you with eternal life. My, what a reward. My dad was a very strict man, particularly with me. I was the older child in the family. I had a sister born 3 years after I did who died, and then 3 years later another sister who still lives, at least to the best of my knowledge she does. But Dad was very strict with me. My mother used to comment from time to time saying, Archie, why aren't you, she used the term, as hard on my sister as you are on Gene. He'd say he's the one that has to grow up to be a man. I don't know what he thought my sister was going to grow up to be. Not a man, of course, but she was going to grow up to be an adult, and she needed the same kind of teaching. But if I was going out, even if I were only going to church, and most of the time I walked to church, which was nearly 2 miles, and that was all right, too. I needed my exercise, and I have strong legs today to show for it. But he'd hear the door open. I'd open the door, and he'd say, Gene. I'd say, yes, Dad, what do you want? Don't forget who you are. Well, He was telling me, don't forget you're a West. Don't you forget you're my son. Don't you humiliate your mother and myself and your sister. You do the right thing. You behave yourself while you're out of our sight. But there was someone else who wanted me to remember who I was too. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave his precious blood to wash me clean from sin. Will you have that today? Will you come to Christ today? Will you come to Christ even though you may be very young, contemplating the hour and the day and the month and the year when you must come to what Brother Ted Holdren used to call the hour and the article of death. Not fun to think about it, but don't forget it. Come to Christ. If you need to be restored tonight because of shortcomings in your life, we pray that you'll come ready to come repenting, ready to pray, that God will take care of these matters, forgive you, set you in good stead with himself and with his church again. If it is the case that you need to be baptized into Christ, we urge you to come believing in him, repenting of all sin, ready to confess his name, ready to be immersed with him in the watery grave of baptism, where you'll be cleansed by his own blood, and where the man of sin will be left, and you'll rise in newness of life. Will you do that? God sent Jesus to this earth to die upon a cross to give you that opportunity. We pray that you will have that advantage this evening. This is a little different from what we usually do, but I'm going to ask Brother Andy Robinson, since he's here tonight, if he'll come forward and be prepared to receive anyone who might come with a spiritual need. If you have one or more, please come as we stand together and sing the selected song.